Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. It is Wednesday. Time for some Wednesday wisdom or women's wisdom. I don't know. I'm looking at changing the name of this radio show. But I am your host, Deborah Leanne. And today's topic is so juicy. I could probably spend weeks talking about this. And it has to do with comparing, contrasting, competing, and ultimately criticizing the other or ourselves. And before we get into this, it could be deep. We'll see how it is for you. For me, it's very deep. It's actually part of the work that I'm doing right now with the group exploring the gene keys. And it's a big piece between my emotional quotient, relationships, and spiritual is all around this area. So it's may not be, you know, but I think it's pretty human. It's a very all too common thing, especially around what women do to each other. It's almost like we have our own misogyny going on. Hatred of powerful, successful, beautiful, amazing, brilliant women. And in that, it forces us sometimes, what happens to me is this feeling of constriction, and I pull back. And as opposed to shining even more brightly who I am, I turn down my, you know, I dim my light, dim my brilliance. And that self-doubt and inner critic gets very loud, which does everything to work against what I'm trying to do in the world. So before we get into some of these pieces and to talk about some, not really antidotes, but ways to dance with this energy, let's drop in and get present and be here. Now, the beauty of this work is, I think for many of us, is just being still. It's a whole new way of meditating where you walk away from your computer and you go inward and you have some time with yourself. It's like having a date. So imagine having a cup of tea and a date with yourself when you go into these explorations. So feeling our feet, the magnetic energy that holds us and pulls us to the ground, let's just up that a little bit, not where you feel like you're sinking into quicksand, but that you're being held and lovingly supported by the gravity holding us to Mother Earth. And letting that energy just drain out the busyness, any competing energies that might be calling us, wanting our attention to solve problems or be there for someone else or to track our loved ones and make sure everything is going well. Let's just allow them, those extra energies, to just fall away and receive a nice deep breath in through your nose and exhale through your mouth. And this next time in through your nose, letting any extraneous energy that doesn't belong in this moment to just drain away with our exhale. And another big inhale through the nose. And this one, I'm stretching my arms up above my head and allowing my shoulders to settle back down as I bring my arms down, elongating my neck and my spine, so that we can have all of the energy flowing beautifully between our sits bones that we're sitting on, all the way up through the top of our head, and out through the top of our crown, actually. And in this moment, let's just focus on the area, our power center, between our hips. You can wiggle your hips side to side a bit in your chair if you're sitting, if you're standing, just kind of a little shifting your weight from side to side. And in this space, focus on an imaginary ball of light that's in between your hips. It would be in the area where we would carry a child if we were pregnant. It's that area in between, below your belly button and straight through to your sacrum. But in the very center of that space, there's actually space there for us in that pelvic bowl. If you can imagine a light in there, and what we want to do is turn on the light if it's not on. Imagine this ball of light. You can imagine a candle if you'd like. Some people imagine a crystal. And allow that flame to get a little bit brighter so that it's filling that whole area with your light. As you breathe in, it gets a little bit bigger, and it might get smaller as you breathe out, or sometimes when I see it do the opposite. As I breathe in and collect additional energy from the divine and the physical support system here, then I send that down into this ball of light and allow it to get the flame, to fan the flames and let it get bigger. This is just an image that we can hold of our power and our light. And when we concentrate on filling ourselves up with this light, which we can turn up and allow it to shine up and connect with our heart space and shine on out through our heart to the front and to the back, shining through our eyes, as we gaze upon those we love, the world we love, the work we love to do. And allowing that filling up to be a constant fullness. Very often women are running around, and I can speak from personal experience, on empty. And our energy is low. We're constantly depleted from doing too much and doing for others too much. And if there's not anything wrong with doing inherently, but there needs to be a balance. We don't just exhale all the time. We pause, we inhale, sometimes more than others, sometimes more consciously than other times, and then exhale. What I'm wanting to do is remind us that we are rooted in our own beauty and light right here. And every time we see another amazing woman doing the work that we're wanting to do or we're currently doing, or it might still be in a dream phase that we're like, wow, she's so amazing, and we send our energy out to her, can we send it in a blessing? Very often what happens is we see what someone else is doing, the book that they've just published or a program that they're offering or the way that they write their website that feels like it's your words. You're like, wow, that's how I feel about this, or that's the kind of work that I would like to do. And when we see that, how can we flip around that if she's doing it, I can't? That means I'm not very good. That means she's better than me. That comparison thing, that competition thing. Let's go back to comparison for 1 second. I learned this in one of my leadership mastery programs. One of the trainers had lived in a certain part of Spain, the Basque region, and the word for compare there literally translated into little death. This is big, because when we compare, we're not doing it in a way where we're bringing up our light. We typically tend to either tear down our light, turn it down, dim it, or we turn down theirs. And through judgment and all of that. The other piece around this competition, and this has come up for me several times recently. At several networking things, I'll meet somebody and I'll say, oh, do you know so-and-so? She does women's leadership and da-da-da-da, and she's doing these trainings and she's involved in this university, or she teaches at the MBA school here. And immediately I feel this, oh, like somebody's punched me in the stomach. I haven't quite learned how to manage the physical manifestation, but it's awareness now that I see that and I realize, wow, she's doing what I want to do. More power to her. Literally. Good on you, girl. That's amazing. And when I see people like this and I want to reach out and talk with them, sometimes they're very gracious and willing to meet and share what they're up to and potentially discuss, you know, how we could support each other or potentially even work together. And there's others that are very nervous about that. That competitive thing goes flying up. And the book I'm reading now about the Queen's Code, Alison Armstrong has written a series of three books about learning how to be in relationship with men, how to live with them, how to work with them, how to be married to them. But most importantly, it's the masculine and feminine dynamic. And the interesting thing for me is it is a masculine dynamic of competition. And it works, as it has worked through the millennia for them, to be competitive. And it's also helped to keep us safe. They've protected their women in that way for many, many, many thousands of years. When women have moved into the area of in the workforce where we have adopted a lot of the masculine traits, this is one that we talk about being collaborative, but there's still a competitive edge there where you'll be at a networking thing and someone says, oh my gosh, there's somebody else doing the same kind of thing. And there's this, you know, and how can we know, really know and trust that the world is a big enough playground for us to both be amazing? I'm going to let that land because that was big for me too. How can we open our hearts and stand tall in our fullness, in our brilliance, and just beam gratitude at this person who's also doing the work that we are here to do in their own way? It doesn't take away from us at all. In fact, it shows that the market is ready for the same type of thing to be out there. Women's leadership programs are everywhere now. It's the new thing, the new women's leadership conference. It's not new, but it's been going on for 5-10 years, but it is huge. And the more that I meet leadership trainers, speakers, authors that work with women in leadership, I am so excited because it means that this topic is growing in popularity. It wasn't so big when I first explored it some years back. And Take the Lead is an amazing program that has circles that train women on leadership power tools. The lean-in circles that are everywhere, supporting women to be their best in terms of stepping into leadership. The Emerging Women has lots of really cool power circles, I think they call them. And it's time. It's time for us to be owning our leadership. And we all bring different pieces to the puzzle. I don't think any one of us has all of the parts that are necessary for us to get to gender parity. I think we all need to work together. And again, it's a collaborative thing. It's not about being competitive. How can we, and it's with men too, right? We need partnerships on all levels with all people to get where we want to go. The days of the lone wolf, I've said this before, are over, right? We women are actually much stronger when we band together, which is why the mastermind circles, the leadership roundtables, the coming together to support each other and ourselves in our next phase of growth, that model is powerful because it works. So this whole area around learning where we jump into the defensive and shrink, and it brings up all of our fight or flight stuff, that stress. How can we recognize that and just laugh at it? I'm learning that laughter is one of the best ways to shift your energy in an instant. Literally, turn on a dime. I remember somebody telling me that they thought agility is now becoming one of the competencies that they look at for leaders and executives. How quickly can they shift? And agility has almost been, like anything that's overused, it can become a weakness, because if you can't hold your own because you're constantly floating around, that's not good either. So a grounded agility where you're literally turning 180 and seeing something from the other side, or turning in a 360, but standing in your place, looking at everything else around you, is a good thing. So how can we recognize, okay, that's that old little girl that lost out to somebody else at the spelling bee, or was told that her cousin was the smart one and this other one was the pretty one, and, you know, we wanted to be number one for this, or number, you know, I was never really number one. You know, I wasn't the tallest in the class. I was the third tallest. I wasn't in the top 10 in my graduating class of high school. I was number 13. You know, there's all these. And, of course, my fragile ego always wanted to be, you know, closer to the top, because that was recognition that I loved and wanted and needed at the time to be loved, to be honest, and to feel like I belonged. You know, I wasn't part of the popular group, so to be part of the nerdy smart group was good. But again, I wasn't in that truly considered gifted top 10, right? So it was an interesting, we've been living with this for so long that I'm curious how we can recognize it and go, oh, there's that. There's that teenager that lost out to her girlfriend for the guy that I thought was so cute, and he, you know, wanted to go out with her. He never even noticed me, or whatever. That was then. We are not in competition for any beauty pageant, for being mother of the year, for being executive of the year. I mean, if we get nominated, that's an amazing thing. And if we don't get nominated and we're still doing our best, that's what counts. A week ago, I was at a networking event, and I was sharing with somebody how a gentleman who I deeply admire, and I said, I'm curious. I don't know how to handle this. I feel like the last workshop that I did was less than my stellar self. The one before that was so magical, and everyone came up to me afterwards and was like, wow, that was really amazing. And the last time, it just fell flat. You know, nobody came up to me afterwards saying, oh, you know, I want to continue working with you. Nothing. It was, and I felt bad to the point where I almost have called a couple people and said, I'd like to give you your money back. And I was telling them, you know, do you think that makes sense, or should I give them a discounted ticket to come to another thing, or how do you think, you know, I would love your advice. And he said, you know what, you did your best. And I think that if you want to call and ask them what they thought of the workshop and just say that you're curious about their feedback, that would be great. But don't go in there apologizing for not being your normal brilliant self, because in some ways you probably were brilliant. And as he said that, I remembered how many pages of notes they took. I mean, they obviously found value. But I want it to be perfect. And one of the things that I'm learning in the Gene Keys is I don't like to be mediocre. I don't. It's a shadow of mine. So I get to play with what does it mean to be mediocre and average. Another one is around divisiveness. And another shadow is constriction. You know, it's that holding in, staying small. And, of course, what is the work I do in the world? It's about not being mediocre. It's about being brilliant. What is the work I'm doing around constriction? It's about opening to our fullness, you know? So I love that the more I'm learning about me and the shadows that I am now learning to recognize and find the gifts in them, that has taken me to a whole nother level of how deeply needed this work is. It's reinforced that I bring a unique perspective. You know, not only do I have the 25 years of training and organizational development and troubleshooting and brilliant HR, you know, selection and staffing experience, but I also have worked on a deep level from various perspectives in the nonprofit arena for the last 20 years. Anywhere from education to youth development to on the funding side, on the board governance side, on the inside, running my own nonprofit. All of these different things give me so many different perspectives, and there's no one else that has that. So even if their words and their marketing or their messages on Facebook or the book that they're writing might be a title and a blurb that sounds very eerily similar, I just get to remind myself that we're all tapped into the same divine inspiration. They acted on it quicker. They wrote out what I wanted to say. Doesn't mean that they're better. Doesn't mean that I'm less than. And this is, it's not a, I forget the math term, it's not a zero equal sum thing. It's not like they cancel, we cancel each other out even. And I used this the other day. I presented to two nonprofits that are literally coming together in a marriage that is quite beautiful. And we were talking about leadership and culture and how to maintain. Both of them have been around for decades, one of them over a century. They're over 100 years old, and the other one's a little over 40 years old. And when they come together, it's not because of need. It's not because somebody was going to close their doors without being picked up and saved by another. It's they're coming together as equal partners because they can better serve the community that way, because they have overlaps in programs, and it'll actually create a stronger union by having them be one organization. And as they go through all of the logistics and the rebranding and all of that, they're still, you know, looking at, well, what was the best thing about this, and what do we want to bring forward, and what do we want to leave behind? So they're in this dance right now of learning what to take forward in this marriage and what to put on the sidelines and decide whether or not they truly want to pack and move in together with all of that, or some of it can go into storage for a while. And one of the things I loved is I was saying something about synergy to the new CEO that's been announced to head up both of these organizations as they become one. And she said, 1 plus 1 equals 3, and I actually put my fingers up in front of me, my two pointer fingers, and I said, actually, I look at it as 1 and 1 creates 11. How about if we could think of it as that multitude of energy being that much bigger than those two organizations being on their own? And that kind of impact is really amazing in a community organization. And I do look forward to working with them on leadership development or leadership culture, whichever. I'm not sure which direction they're going to go in first. And it's very exciting. There's one piece that I want to go back and tap into, and it's because I'm in the middle of reading about 5 books at the moment, this one about the Queen's Code is very interesting to me about how women have been emasculating, literally castrating very often the men that they are in relationship with over and over and over, their sons, their husbands, their brothers, their dads, their and it's this thing of we want to be safe and we want to be seen as powerful, so we lash out at them in a way that is not understanding of the male ego, and it's not very honoring of us. And our judgment of men is so harsh in holding them and expecting them to act like we would in a situation, which isn't helpful. They're not women. They don't think the same, but yet for 55 years, that's how I've treated them, and I get it. And so then we wonder why everything that we so want from them, to work with them, to be in love with them, to be married to them, to be parented by them, or whatever, any of those relationship dynamics, how that shifts when we honor them for who they are and allow them to relax into their brilliant male selves. And what happens is their defense mechanisms go down, and we have this beautiful synergy of the masculine and feminine energy that comes together, and together we both get what we're wanting in that relationship, in that communication dynamic. How can we do that within ourselves? How can we marry all of the honoring of what's still there with, you know, on both sides, on the logical and on the compassionate side? Let's do more of that. Connect with me if you'd like to learn more about the Gene Keys or the deep work that I'm doing in the Authentic Leadership Academy. I look forward to hearing from you and entertaining any questions. Have a great week, and be nice to yourself. Be kind if you do find yourself comparing, contrasting, and competing. Till next time. Bye-bye.